The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Story, no lullaby, no little steps in the middle of the night. And the nation's numb. Is this what our forefathers had in mind? What is happening in Washington? 'Cause it's not enough. Your thoughts and prayers, you send your love, you say you care, but you are not my baby. But my heart has died, standing alone in an empty room, except for my child, but she's not really there. And all the people have gone, and I wanna pick her up and take her home. Can't bear to leave her here. It's not enough, your thoughts and prayers. You send your love, you say you care, but you are not my baby. Oh, bless the child, oh, rest their souls. I bet those lawmakers don't. Thoughts and prayers, you send your love, you say you care, but you are not my baby. Can you do something so that there's not more gone babies? 26, 48 49 14 12 27 13 32.
Good morning. From Thomas Paine Unitarian Universal Fellowship in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. For those of you on Zoom, thanks to the magic of technology and our amazing tech team, we are also as close as your home. We are a Unitarian Universalist congregation dedicated to challenging the mind, nurturing the spirit, and transforming the world. I am Joanne Walker, a member of Thomas Paine, and I want to welcome you all to today's service. Wherever you are on your life journey, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever you are on your, whomever you love, whatever your gender identity or expression, we welcome you into our circle of compassion and caring. That song we just heard, it was supposed to have those blurry things. They represent chaos. It was written after the mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in 2018. Not much has changed. Today, we will examine the issue of guns in our troubled society. It's not a simple or an easy task, but it's a topic that we cannot ignore. Now, for Preston will do the chalice lighting. You want me to light?
I'm going to light this chalice with words from Martin Luther King's essay on nonviolence. The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is, is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish the truth. Through violence, you murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. May the light of this chalice help bring us today the light of love to our assembly here and help us drive out darkness and hate. And now I will light the peace lamp. The words will be on the screen if you would follow after me. May peace be with us.
And with all the people of the world.
Our gathering song this morning is Louder Than Guns, performed by Old Crow Medicine Show.
This morning, it was Groundhog Day. I saw the same black bear on a crying face and a flag flying halfway. This time, it was people I know, gunned down in a minute or so. Only God knows when it'll stop, but these thoughts and prayers ain't enough. Louder than guns, more powerful than bullets flying. Is the voice rising up, saying it's about time to put the last nail in the coffin, put the last body in the ground, calling on every town, shout louder than guns. There's a law on a dusty scroll. From a feather pen, it says every man's right to defend shall not be infringed. Well, this time I don't agree that a man should have his own army. More than an American child should live in sweet harmony. Think louder than guns, more powerful than bullets flying. It's the voice rising up, saying it's about time we put the last nail in the coffin, put the last body in the ground, calling on every town, shout louder than guns.
Another Groundhog Day. No, I don't want to hear another rat-a-tat-tat-tat echo down the hallway. No, freedom's just another word for letting every voice be heard. Every heart, every hand, every town take a stand. Sing louder than guns, more powerful than bullets flying. Is the voice rising up, saying it's about damn time we put the last nail in the coffin, we put the last body in the ground, calling on every town, shout louder than guns, more powerful than bullets flying.
Louder than guns.
Oh, can't you hear the people crying?
have our moment for all ages with Sheila Sangmeister. If all the kids want to come up front.
I'm just gonna hang out. Yeah, so yeah.
I love that. That's great.
You're leaving my shoes on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks, Jerry. It's on. Okay. Okay. Now you can hear. So if you want to speak, you have to speak really loudly from that side. A Terrible Thing Happened, written by Margaret M. Holmes, illustrated by Gary Pillow, and afterward by Sasha J. Mudleff. It's dedicated to all the children who struggle with the aftermath of tragedy and to their dedicated caregivers. Sherman Smith saw the most terrible thing. He was very upset. It really scared Sherman to see such a terrible thing. Sherman did not like feeling so afraid. He did not want to remember what happened. So Sherman decided not to think about the terrible thing he saw. Sherman thought that would make him feel better. At first, the plan seemed to work. Sherman woke up every morning, he brushed his teeth, and he went to school. Sherman played with his sisters. He teased his sister, Sherman played with his friends, and he teased his sister. That sounds about right. And he walked his dog, right? Yeah. Everything seemed all right for a while, but something inside of Sherman was starting to bother him. Sherman had to play more, run faster, and sing louder in order to forget the terrible thing he saw. Other things started happening to Sherman, too. Sometimes he did not feel hungry. Sometimes his stomach hurt or his head hurt. Sometimes he felt sad, but he did not know why. Hold that side down for me. Thank you. Sometimes he was nervous for no reason at all, and sometimes he did not sleep very well. Sometimes when he did sleep, he had very bad dreams. The bad dreams scared Sherman, and all of these things made Sherman angry. It seemed like Sherman was angry all the time. Sherman started getting into trouble at school. Sometimes he felt so angry that he did mean things. Getting into trouble so often made Sherman feel real bad. Sherman did not understand all of these of his bad feelings. He felt confused. Sometimes parents help children figure out their feelings. Sometimes teachers or other grown-ups help. And that is how Sherman met Miss Maple. Miss Maple helped Sherman think about his feelings. She listened while Sherman talked to her. They played while they talked. And Sherman did not feel as mixed up as when he talked to Miss Maple. Once when Sherman and Ms. Maple were coloring, she told him to draw a picture of how he felt when he was angry. This seemed like a strange thing to draw, but Sherman did it. And after that, Sherman drew lots of pictures, pictures of the pain in his stomach, pictures of the bad dreams he had, pictures of the fear he felt. And at last, pictures of the terrible thing he saw. Sherman and Ms. Maple talked about the pictures, and he asked if the terrible thing he saw was his fault. Sherman said he worried a lot about that. No, Ms. Maple told Sherman, it was not your fault. Sherman told Ms. Maple a lot of things. He told her about the bad dreams. He told her how scared he felt. It was all very hard to do. Ms. Maple was proud that Sherman was trying to talk about such hard things. Sherman found that it felt good to let his feelings out. Feeling good helped Sherman feel stronger. And when Sherman felt stronger, he did not feel so angry. Nothing could change the terrible thing that Sherman saw. But now he does not feel so mean. He's not so scared or worried. His stomach does not hurt as much, and the bad dreams hardly ever happen. Sherman Smith is feeling much better now. He just thought you would want to know.
Thank you very much. That was fun. Who invited all these other people?
Go now in peace. Make the spirit of love surround everywhere you may go. This is a pretty difficult topic to talk about. Some things that you hear today could be disturbing. Some things could make you feel sad. Some things could make you feel somewhat hopeful. But the point of it all is to make us not forget what's going on in our society. Guns and the violence associated with them are an epidemic in our society. According to the Brady Center, over 117,000 Americans are shot every year. Of those, over 42,000 die, including over 2,000 children. These deaths come from murders and mass shootings, suicides, domestic violence, and accidents. But the damage goes even further. Those who are physically wounded may carry that psychological wound for the rest of their lives. Others, family members, classmates, coworkers, witnesses, and countless others are also psychologically traumatized. We often think that it won't impact our families. Yet during the second week of this month, 11 children in Philadelphia were shot near public transit. In addition, there were high-profile incidents with guns in nearby Bucks County and Ambler. All in one week, and all with families never expecting it to happen to them. Last weekend, I was awakened on Sunday morning by a call from my son. He told me that he and his friends were at the scene of one of two drive-by shootings in Washington the day before. He calmly explained to me the chaos, how they had to run to hide in nearby buildings, and how parents were panicking and grabbing their young children. No one was hurt where my son was, but three people were killed at the other shooting at a St. Patrick's Day festival. As he spoke, all I could think was, I could have lost him in a split second. My own perspective on guns developed early in my life and has grown stronger with each passing year. I grew up in a house with guns. There were four of them in the closet of my parents' bedroom. Everyone knew they were there. When I was in my late 20s, I came home to find my mother pointing a gun at my father. He was chronically ill with several illnesses, and she was overwhelmed at the time and extremely angry with him. She didn't shoot him. She handed me the gun as soon as I walked in. That day, I took all the guns and turned them in at a police station, where I was surprised to find out that every single one of them was fully loaded. In 2015, my niece committed suicide with a gun. 5 months later, one of my son's closest friends at college committed suicide with a gun. In 2016, I became the executive director of a victim services agency in Philadelphia. Part of my job, I met one of the survivors of the Orlando nightclub shooting at the Philadelphia airport. It was an experience that I can't even describe, but it's imprinted on my mind forever. In that job, every day I saw and heard the impact of gun violence on parents, children, survivors, and friends. I listened as teenagers talked about the violence in their communities and about how they did not expect to live to be 18. The hopelessness expressed by these young people shocks the soul and goes to the core of the public health crisis created in part by the easy accessibility of guns. Access to a gun is too easy, too simple. It doesn't allow time for thought about the finality of its use. It doesn't allow time for intervention. And more often than not, the outcome is final. And the common perception that mostly bad people are killed by guns is not based in fact. The social determinants of our high number of gun deaths include historic and continuing inequality, poverty, inadequate housing, a failing education system, poor access to health care, stigma, and lack of access to mental health care. The total lack of action by and trust in our institutions, and the ease of gun accessibility, especially to automatic weapons. We need holistic changes in so many areas that it can seem an impossible task. But we can address gun accessibility as well as gun safety. We regulate cars. We regulate food. We even regulate teddy bears and toy rattles. We can and we should regulate guns. Guns are intended for one purpose only, killing. The impact of a gunshot, especially from an automatic weapon, on the human body is horrific. And it is only due to the skills of first responders and emergency room trauma teams that the death count isn't higher. Violence feeds on anger and fear. It is not a way to resolve arguments, health issues, marital disputes, or grudges. Rather than offering a vision of a community in which we are bound, rather than offering a vision of community in which we are bound together by our common humanity, the gun culture encourages fear, teaching us to see each other, to look at each other as the other, a potential enemy, a threat, not a fellow human being whose life has value. Pretending that a gun is meant to defend yourself makes no sense whatsoever. You cannot directly defend yourself using a gun. It isn't a shield or a barricade, and you cannot shoot bullets that will intercept or deflect an incoming bullet. It is a weapon intended to kill. Our first principle calls UUs to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We value life and support peace, justice, and respect. The American obsession with the supposed right to bear arms that exists today in our culture devalues life at its most basic level. We cannot be silent. We must be outraged. With our voices, with our votes, with our time, with our support, and with our actions. To be complacent and fail to act only contributes to further break our society into pieces. You saw that on the opening song, Dear Congress. There are some steps that can be taken to address the pervasive gun issues in the United States. These include, but are certainly not limited to, background checks, waiting periods, limits on who can possess a gun, and assault weapon bans. Today, to look at one area where we can personally have an impact, I am pleased to welcome as our guest speaker, Tina Gallagher, co-lead for Be Smart of Montgomery County, a gun safety initiative. Tina will speak to us about some of Be Smart's efforts. Welcome, Tina.
Thank you, Joanne, and thanks for having me. My name is Tina Gallagher. I'm a co-lead for the Be Smart program in Montgomery County. Be Smart is a program developed by Everytown for Gun Safety Support Fund. My background is I became involved with Be Smart right after Sandy Hook. I was in the classroom teaching, and it rocked my world, and I decided to get off the sidelines and become involved, and that's what I've been doing for a number of years now. We all want kids to grow up to be happy and healthy, of course. And if we can prevent one child's gun death or injury, it's our responsibility to do so. I tell myself that a lot when I decided to get involved with this program, that if I can save one child, it's worth every minute, every second, hours that I have worked with the program on. Go to the next slide. Again, it's our responsibility as a community, as a area, to try to do something about gun safety. And unfortunately, this is a horrible statistic, and it really affected me when I learned about firearms affecting the cause. It's the highest cause of death for children. It's still hard for me to understand that. Next. It's the incidences of gunfire on school grounds is up to 76% of the shooters have obtained their guns in the home or the home of a relative. There's been a lot of studies and research after Sandy Hook, and the statistics are mind-boggling. All children's unattended school shootings, shooting deaths occurred in the home. And the Secret Service did a study and found that about 3/4 of school shooters acquired their firearm from the home of a parent, their own parent, or a close relative. Unfortunately, it's an American problem, and as you see in the upper left corner, this happened very close to here. A 13-year-old boy was charged with murder for the shooting death of his 12-year-old sister in March 2021. His mother had asked him to get her 9mm handgun from her car, and then he killed his sister. And of course, it happens all around us. Next, please. This is the program. It's an acronym called Be Smart. The SMART stands for the words on the bottom.
If you could read those for the people on Zoom.
Oh, sure. Yep. The S stands for secure all guns in your home, to secure all guns in your home and your vehicle. M is for model responsible behavior. Ask about unsecured guns in other homes, like where your children or grandchildren might go. Recognize the role of guns in suicide, and T, to tell your peers. And we'll talk about all those letters. The S stands for secure. Secure your gun in your homes and your vehicles. 13 million households with children contain at least one gun, and the majority of children in gun-owning households actually know where the gun is stored. Hiding a gun is not securing a gun. So what do we mean by securing a gun? A gun should always be stored securely, which means they are inaccessible to kids, and make sure children are never in the presence of an unsecured gun. These are there's two slides about different types of secure gun safes. The one in the middle has become very popular, and I just looked on Amazon last night. You can get one for around $65. It's a biometric safe. They're becoming more popular. The price has really dropped on them. They used to be $100 and more, and now you can get one for $65 that had very good reviews. They are liked, I think, because they're easy access. It uses a fingerprint, but the one I was reading about last night, also besides your print, it also had keys and some other mechanisms, but I read about
I don't know, 20, 30 reviews, and they were all 5-star reviews. So that's the biometric one in the middle. There's one more slide, I think. And these are examples of some of the other types of gun cases or safes. At minimum, the cable lock, you might see those, and we've handed those out at events. They're like a bicycle lock, sometimes we get them from different, I got some from the Sheriff's Department in Norristown. But the only problem is they're easily broken into. They're just like a cable and you can break them, but better than nothing. And you might see events that they give out free gun locks, and that's usually what is given out. The M is for modeling responsible behavior. We can't rely on curious kids not to find a gun. We feel it's the adult's responsibility to prevent the access to the gun. Again, not the curious child's responsibility to avoid the gun. That's the difference between our program and other programs who focus on teaching the child to stay away from the gun. Our program it's the adult's responsibility to prevent the unauthorized access to the gun. And of course, we all want to talk to our children about gun safety, but remember, that's a precaution, not a guarantee. One study found that young children who go through a week-long gun safety training are just as likely as children with no training to approach or play with a handgun when they find one. Kids know where their parents store their guns, and more than one-third have reported handling their parents' guns, many doing so without the knowledge of their parents. That said, you can't control the environment that your child is in all the time. So you should teach them not to touch the gun if they come across one, and give them the tools to get out of a dangerous situation, like, alert an adult. But as an adult, it's your responsibility to do everything you can to prevent that situation to occur in the first place. That's the ask. These are a couple examples of the A for ask. And it's kind of hard to see them, but they're kind of nice graphics about what you can say and what you can do. Kind of hard to see on here. If you can go to the next slide, I think. Oops, hang on. Oops. Well, I'm going to talk about the A in ask then, even though that slide, the A wasn't really clear. The A in ask is actually my favorite one, meaning it's something that we can do as an aunt, uncle, parent, grandparent, asking about firearms in other people's homes that maybe your child visits. Some things to ask about before allowing your child to go to a friend's home, which I know I did. My big question with my kids was always, who was going to be in the house when you were, as a teenager, when you were at somebody else's house? And if I couldn't talk to the person or have evidence that there was a parent, an adult in the house, they didn't go. They weren't happy with me one time, I can recall. very unhappy with me, and we wouldn't let my daughter get out of the car until we could see that there was an adult in the house. So along with those kind of safety things that you deal with your children, we want the asking about gun just to be as easy as asking those other questions. Does your child have an allergy? We have a cat. Is that a problem for your child? Asking about if there's a gun in the home, is it secured? We just want that to be part of the safety questions that you may ask. I got a tip from I think another parent or somewhere. If you feel uncomfortable asking about that, sometimes saying, put it on someone else, and the someone else was a pediatrician. So asking or saying, my pediatrician has advised me to ask about any unsecure, if you would have a gun in your home. Again, if you feel uncomfortable, you could say that your pediatrician has asked about it, has advised you to ask about it. And we are getting more pediatricians and healthcare providers to bring that up in conversations with parents. Again, asking about guns in the home should be as natural as asking about any other safety issue. So that's the part that I think we all can try to do or advise someone to do. Texting is another way to do it. If you don't feel comfortable saying it, you could also text it. It might seem awkward at first. Try making it a part of, again, those general questions that you might ask. And now we'll go to the R. The R is recognizing the roles of guns in suicide. As our children get older, you may need to consider taking another look at your storage method for your gun. A simple cable lock might not do it anymore. We all know that kids are very curious, and unfortunately, we know about the statistics with gun suicide, that 90% of suicide attempts with guns do result in death. And of course, that contributes to the fact that 41% of child suicides involve a gun. So again, besides hurting another child, there's also the suicide. So thinking again about how you might want to change how you secure your gun if you have an older child in the house. If your child or teenager is in distress, you might want to consider temporarily removing a gun from your house is another option. 70% of people who survive a suicide attempt will never attempt a suicide again. So asking law enforcement to help you temporarily remove the gun is a possibility. Some licensed gun dealers or gun ranges may be willing to temporarily store your gun. You could temporarily store your gun in the home of a friend or a family member. You should lock any guns that you transfer and not provide the key or code to that person. And of course, depending on the law in your state, the person agreeing to store your guns may first need to get their own background check at a gun dealer or through law enforcement. The National Youth Survey conducted by the CDC showed that 20% of high school students had seriously considered attempting suicide within the last year. One study showed that 41% of adolescents in gun-owning households report having easy access to the gun in their house. So, as said earlier, research shows that secure firearm storage is associated with a decreased risk of child firearm suicide. And the T, there were some resources about suicide on that slide. And the last letter is T for, that's our power that we have in our voice to help tell others about this. Sharing the awareness, trying to help each other learn ways that we can help families, young families, or if you're a grandparent, trying to help others find ways that they can help each other to definitely be smart. I'll just tell one little quick story if I have time. I was at an event once and I had a grandmother approach me, and I could tell she was distressed. She was at the table a long time. She didn't just come and say hi and pick up a brochure. So she kind of hung around. So I figured she wanted to talk maybe. So she did. Her son-in-law had guns in the house where her grandchildren were. And she knew they were unsecured, I guess, for what, however reason. She saw the guns, I'm not sure, but she knew the guns, there were a few guns, and there were, I think she had three grandchildren. And she was very worried about her grandchildren. And she also didn't want to talk to her her son-in-law about it. And her daughter also didn't want to talk about it. So she was in a bad way. So we talked, and I gave her some brochures, and I suggested to her, leave the brochure somewhere in the house, maybe put it on the kitchen table. Maybe it's a way to start a conversation. If you have the opportunity to speak with them, tell them you went somewhere today and this is what you learned, and show them the information. And if that didn't work, just leave the information on the kitchen table and try another time. But she was very distressed about it and wanted to do something as a grandmother. So I hope, I never spoke to her again. I hope that she was able to have some type of communication with her son-in-law and daughter about the guns that she knew were unsecured and in the house. So whatever we can do to help support children and is really important, and that's why I do what I do. So thank you for listening.
Thanks so much, Tina. We really appreciate it. I want to let everybody know that on the little side table out in the lobby, Tina's left some materials that you might be interested in. One's a bookmark, and I know a lot of us like bookmarks. So we're going to go to Matters of the Heart. Mike will explain.
We'll have a brief interlude here for people to collect their thoughts, and then folks in the sanctuary will be able to go up to the microphone at the front to share, and people on Zoom will be able to use Zoom's raise hand function if you have something to share, and I will unmute you so that you may. And if you don't care to speak on Zoom, you can also put a message in chat, and I will happily read that out. We can bring this time of sharing to a close.
I just wanted to say, I'm not going to talk long, a few closing words, and I wanted to thank everyone for listening and thank those of you who shared. This is a really, really personal problem for me, as you can tell, and it's really difficult to talk about guns, as I said earlier. It's frustrating, it's uncomfortable, sometimes it feels defeating. And whether I think about it spiritually, socially, logically, legally, emotionally, or any other way, it's just difficult. You know, it's hard to find an answer. But giving up and choosing complacency and not speaking out, whether with our voices our votes, our time, whatever, that's not acceptable either. We must remain outraged. We cannot be silent because they have bigger pockets and they're louder that way. Every action, every word to address and limit the impact of guns on our society is meaningful, and it's a step toward transforming our broken culture. And as you use, we cannot stand on the sidelines. Why? Because just one of our voices can lead to multiple voices, and hopefully all of those will lead to some action. We're now going to extinguish the chalice, Preston.
I'm going to read some words from Robert F. Kennedy, the real Robert F. Kennedy, from his speech on the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. Every time we turn our heads the other way when we see the law flouter, when we tolerate what we know to be wrong, when we close our eyes and ears to the corrupt because we are too busy or too frightened, when we fail to speak up and speak out, we strike a blow against freedom and decency and justice. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of independence, democracy, and justice that we will carry with us into the world.
Our closing song today is one that I hope will leave us with a reason to stand up and be heard. It is A Million Dreams, performed by the One Voice Children's Choir.
I don't care if they call us crazy.